1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Say, David, that sounds intense. Man, you're getting intense with us. Listen, I want you to obtain everything God has. Every Sunday at 11:30, the power of God is flowing out of here to bless us and change our lives. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We thank God continually because when you received the word, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it actually is, the word of God. Look at this, which is at work in you who believe. See, every time that this word is preached, there's fireworks of the Holy Spirit going on inside of you. The word is working. As I'm preaching, things are happening inside of you. And that word penetrates to the core of your being, and it will meet those needs that you have. Man, I'm struggling with addiction. Boom! Take the word of God. He came to set the captive free. Man, I'm struggling. I don't have a job. Boom! Take Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply all of your needs in Christ Jesus. Well, my body feels weak. Boom! He carried your sicknesses on the cross. Take the word of God. As I'm preaching, if we could see in the spirit realm, there would be bombs of the Holy Spirit going off inside of you. And every time you're here, this is a power zone where the word of God is coming into your life and changing your mind and changing your heart. It might not happen on one Sunday, but if you get around here long enough, you're going to leave this place saying, man, I am blessed and highly favored of God. Man, God has given me unlimited possibilities. My body is strong and not weak. I will live and not die. And you start to declare this word. And this is what happens every Sunday. So number one, if you want to be strong in God, come together in worship. Number two, we've got to wait on God. Isaiah 40:31 says, those that wait upon the Lord have new strength. And they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not faint. They will mount up with wings and fly like the eagle. Waiting is doing what you can today, so tomorrow you can do what you can't do. What I mean is this. I would love to have a book ready. I would love to wake up tomorrow and write a book. Just in one day, boom, 120 pages. But I can't do that. But what I can do is I can write one page today. And this is waiting on God. Lord, I'm preparing myself right now so that when your opportunity comes, I will be ready. This is what Pastor Norman was talking about, training your hands for battle. It's a training. It's a day-by-day process. Just a few months ago, we saw athletes from around the world who trained 12, 15, 20 years for one event of 2 minutes. And every day, they're getting just a little bit closer. See, when God calls you to wait, he's giving you an opportunity to get better. And when you're saying, Lord, man, I can't wait anymore. Lord, if you don't bless me now, God, I can't go another day in my life. What you're saying is, Lord, I don't want to prepare for something bigger. See, God wants to impart his blessing into all of us. But if we are not prepared for it, his blessing can come and it'll slip right through our hands. See, how many of us? How many times have I had a moment of opportunity, but I wasn't prepared and I dropped it? How many times do we have the opportunity to receive what God has, but we haven't been trained for it? So when you're waiting, you're preparing yourself and you're allowing God to make you better. Man, every day when I'm trying to learn Arabic now, that's my new language. That would be my sixth one if I learn it. And when I go to the gyms in the morning, I'm on the elliptical and I'm listening to my Arabic my Arabic lesson every day, just a little bit, just 10, 20 minutes. Enti tifhami Arabi, la, ana bafham Arabi, enti amriki. You know, I don't speak Arabic. I'm an American, and I'm learning little by little. One day I'll be able to speak that language. I remember when I was living in Italy, and I lived in an Arabic neighborhood, and I told the guy there, the guy making pizza, I said, you know, I'm going to speak Arabic one day. And he stopped making the pizza, and he said, Davide, lascia stare. Let that idea go. So, è molto difficile per la gente che non sono arabe per parlare la lingua. It's hard for people that are not Arabic to speak the language. Not for me, baby. I'm training every day, just a little bit of words. I'm just training in that language. What has God called you to train at? Man, when people mock you and say, Look at you, no que tu college degree. You've already been there for 7 years. I'm training. All right, one more class. Well, what about you, man? You talked about your diet program on January 1st. Hey, I might not have lost those 20 or 30 pounds. One pound at a time. But no que tu, preacher boy, I thought you were going to preach. Hey, one scripture at a time. I don't know the whole Bible, but I know John 3:16. I'm training step by step. Yeah? So we got to wait on God. And waiting is not just, you know, waiting is not crying. The Bible doesn't say cry to the Lord. Oh, God, you're making me wait. I thought I would have had a job by now. I thought I would have graduated. God, I thought I would have had kids. No, I'm training every day. All right? I want children. I'm going to go train. You got to train. You got to wait on the Lord, and he makes you strong. Amen? I don't know where that joke came from. Number three, you got to be true to God's uniqueness in your life. You got to be true to God's uniqueness in your life. You want to be strong. Now, when I was 16 years old, I had to move from here, and I moved to Houston with my uncle, who's a pastor, Richard Hinojosa. He was here a few months ago. And man, Richard's just a big guy. I mean, even now, he's, I don't know, in his 40s, 50s, and he's still big. He still looks like he can play for the NFL. He's just a big guy. I mean, he's preaching, and his arms are, the Lord wants to bless you. Yes, he does. I mean, he's just a big guy, and he's a no-nonsense guy. I remember one time I walked home late, and he came out of the bedroom. He thought it was like a thief or something, a break-inner. What do you call the break-inners? Burglar. He thought I was a break-inner. And so, I mean, so he just came out like with that, I'm going to break the break-inner face. Soy yo, tío. Go to sleep. And so, I mean, he's just tough guy. And when he preaches, you know, it's not a roller coaster. Some preachers are like, you know, they start off slow and say jokes and they get excited and they bring it back down. When Richard preaches, it's a rocket. He starts preaching for 40 minutes. He's just a strong guy. And I really admired him. And it was, you know, that was, living there was one of the seeds in my life, talking about seeds. That was one of the seeds where I started getting a desire to serve God and to be a pastor. And up to that point, that was probably one of the greatest examples I had, because I lived with the man for a year and a half. And I would think, man, I want to preach like this guy. But as I grew up, I realized I'm not like Richard. And so the other time when he was here preaching, I was seeing him preach, and I was just thinking inside of myself. I was sitting right there, and I said, I could never do what Richard does. Man, I'd love to be as good of a preacher as he is, but that's just not my personality. I can't do what he does. And he's preaching away, and he shocks me, because during his sermon, he says, man, I would love to preach like my nephew David, but I can't do what he does. And I'm thinking, huh? Like, I'm thinking I can't be, you know, the way he is, because to me that's wow. And then he's saying publicly, you know, I can't be like David. And we go out to eat, and he says afterwards, he's like, son, I want to just encourage you. You know, the way God's using you is unbelievable, but you have to be true to you. You can't try to be somebody else. It's not going to work. And the way you are right now, the way you being true to what God called you to be, it's working. So you stay true to who God made you. And we're strong in life when we're operating in the God nature, the way God made us to be. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you. Man, learn from other people. Learn from examples. But be comfortable in the person that God made you to be. See, the Bible says that you are fearfully and marvelously made. So whenever someone's mean and, who do you think you are? You don't have to answer back, but inside you could say, you don't have a clue. I'm beautiful, I'm wonderful, I'm marvelous. And if you can't see it, it's not my fault that you're blind, because God can see it. Yeah? When I walk... You don't have to say it. I don't say it, but I think it. See, and the scripture says, let's go to 1 Samuel 17. There's a beautiful scripture here. One of my new sayings, I say it to myself when I'm walking around. And this is from the Bible. And I challenge you to adopt the same attitude. When I'm walking around, I'm just telling myself, life is a gift. My body is a temple, and I'm God's masterpiece. And that's what every single one of us is. We're God's masterpiece. King David, before he was known as king, he went out to go fight a giant. Maybe you all know this story. The story of David and And David went out there and he killed the giant. We all know the story, yes? Does anybody not know the story? Okay, now there's a piece to the story you might not know. Look at 1 Samuel 17:38. The Bible says, Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Then he said, I can't go in this. I'm not used to them. So then he took off the armor and he went out there with stones and a slingshot. So you could picture David being clumsy with this big armor. He was a teenage boy. Are you ready to go fight? I don't know. You know, with this big armor, I'm not used to this stuff. Say, but that was the best armor. That was, you know, Saul was a man of war. That was the best armor that was out there. That was the best for Saul. It wasn't the best for David. See, you got to find what God put inside of you, because when you are at your best, that is when we get to benefit from what God put inside of you. David took what seemed to be nothing, that stone and that sling, and that's all he needed, but he was true to himself. See, when they try to put the best on him, but it wasn't him, he couldn't function. But when he said, you know what, I'm comfortable with my own skin. I'm comfortable that I'm just a backroads country boy. All I got is a sling and a stone. I'm comfortable that I didn't go to the best schools. I don't have the best training. I'm not the most recognized. Nobody knows who I am. That doesn't matter. I'm skilled in who God made me to be, and that's all I need. And David went out there, and in his own skin, in his own armor, he was strong because he was true to who God made him to be, and he was able to overcome that giant. Man, I remember when I was younger, I was so hyper, like a lot more than now, and it was unbelievable. And I used to not like it. I used to say, "Why can't I be like everybody else?" Last week, I had this race, and I told you all, I was super hyper here in church. I didn't know why. I thought, you know, I had 6 cups of coffee and I ran the race. And I thought, wow, I guess that's a lot. But it wasn't, in fact, 6 cups. I had a shot from Starbucks. I thought it was the equivalent of 2. But it was actually the equivalent of 8 cups. So last week in church, when I was giving the announcements, I had a 5-mile race and I had 14 cups of coffee by 12 noon. And so when I was sitting down after I gave the announcements, I was sitting down on my chair like this. And I was talking to myself, David, don't say anything. Don't say anything. I had too much energy. Well, when I was a teenager, that's how I was every day. It wasn't until I joined track that I was able to discharge all that energy. That's how I was every day. And I used to hate it. But now that I've grown up, people say, how can you do all that stuff you do? How can you learn those languages? How can you go to those countries and just keep on ticking? Well, it's because that's how God made me. See, I had to be comfortable in what I didn't like because that's what God put inside of me to help me accomplish my destiny. You see, and the things that you might not like about yourself, why am I like this? Why am I quiet? Why am I loud? Why am I short? Why am I tall? Maybe God wants you to reach people in China. I don't know, but God has made you for a specific purpose. Okay, so you're strong when you find your purpose. Number 4, last point, all right? So the first one, you want to be strong in God, you've got to come to worship. You've got to connect with the believers, all right? Number 2, I forgot what number 2 was. You got to wait on God. Number 3, be comfortable in your uniqueness. And number 4, if you want to be strong in God, you want to do the impossible, you want to see God's power move in your life. If you want to be strong in God, you've got to be weak. See, the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then he will lift you up. In other words, you got to come to the point you say, God, I'm weak. God, I can't do this on my own. God, I can't overcome this addiction on my own. God, I can't change myself. God, I can't stop, you know, my potty mouth. Lord, I can't be the person you want, the man you want, the woman you want, unless you change me. And when you come humbly before God, that's when he lifts you up. See, Moses was facing an unbelievable challenge. He had the Egyptian army in back of him, and he had the Red Sea in front of him. He had no way out. And God said this. God said, stand back. Moses, let me fight this battle. And he obeyed the Lord. And when he stretched out the staff, man, God did the miracle, parted the sea and destroyed the army. See, when Moses operated in his own strength 40 years earlier, he wanted to take revenge for the injustice. And that made him flee for 40 years in the backside of a desert. See, you can fight your battles, or you can say, God, I give this battle up unto you. See, but the difference is, when you let God take over, you can experience the unlimited power of God on your behalf. Look at what the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I remember when I first read this. You know, I was 17 years old, just come out of high school. And I flunked classes in school. I remember I failed algebra. And, and it doesn't, what I learned in that class, I don't even use today. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I'm just trying to balance a checkbook. But I had to take algebra class and biology, the atomic chart. I mean, I'm never drinking a soda saying, how many protons does this have? I can feel the electrons in my mouth right here. But we had to learn all that stuff. The frog dissection, what was that all about? How many of you have dissected a frog since biology class, after biology class? How many of y'all in your free time, you're let's go frog hunting? How many, no. So a lot of the stuff I learned, I was like, why did we even go through all that? The frog dissection was cool, by the way. But why did we do so much of this stuff? I remember, but the biggest one, the one that freaks me out the most, I failed Spanish. I failed Spanish for non-native speakers. How does that happen? I have a Mexican dad. I live in Laredo, Texas, where everything is, hey, vas para la store, lléveme para la store, porque aquí todos estamos hungry. How do I not know Spanish, right? I have Mexican citizenship. I have like a green passport with a snake and the eagle. I know Mexicanos al grito de guerra. I have cousins in Guadalajara. How do I fail Spanish for non-Spanish speakers? I don't know. I found a way. I failed Spanish. So I remember people were like, dude, you're dumb. And I was like, well, maybe I am. I remember when it was time for college, and we had two options, the SAT or the ACT. And people said, dude, I had smart friends. And I asked them to, you know, help me out. And they're like, dude, the SAT is tough. There's all these big words that we don't even know. I said, well, let me take the ACT. Well, that was even more difficult because that had science. And that was, I failed science. And so I remember when I took the ACT, as I was trying to take the easy way out, I got through like the first three or four science questions, and I didn't have a clue what they were asking. So I browsed through the pages, and I started seeing charts and different things, and I was like, I have no clue what this is. So I guessed, and it took me about 12 minutes to complete the science on the ACT, because I was just guessing. It took about 12 minutes, and the miracle in this is that I got a 10. Out of 36, I got a 10. See, probability says I should have gotten a 9, but the Lord was on my side, so I got a 10. 10 out of 36. And so the only college I was able to get into was community college. And people here in Laredo, they're like, you're going to Last Chance College. Last Chance College. And so, but my thinking, like when they were making fun of me, I was like the guy in Dumb and Dumber. Last Chance. I was like, so you mean there's a chance? That's all I needed was one chance. Right? And I was like, start here, go anywhere. I'll take that chance. And so I got that chance, and I finished my bachelor's degree. And then, so I said, dude, if I can do this, I can do a master's. And here's the thing that's really cool, is that, you know, in Hispanic and Latino population, less than 2% of the population have a master's degree or higher. I mean, I was, era un flunque. I was a flunky. I mean, how do you go from flunky to master's? So I started submitting my applications for a master's, and I ended up going to Springfield, Missouri. And don't you mean Missouri? No, I mean Missouri. And and people ask me, they say, how'd you end up there? That was the only school that accepted me. And so, you know, some people have the option, Lord, do I go to Princeton? Lord, do I go to UT? Do I go to Stanford? No, for me, it was, Lord, if I have one chance, I'll take it. And so I ended up going to Springfield, and I was able to finish. And so here's like the cool thing in it all. I was like not that smart student. But all you need is one chance. And if you have one chance, just take that chance. And so what's funny and the irony of it all is I failed Spanish in high school. But then I go to Switzerland and I'm speaking French after 8 weeks. After that, I go to Brazil. After 4 weeks, eu estou falando português. And people are saying, dude, you are such a genius. You are so smart. And that's when I want to take out the ACT score. Oh, yeah? But you see, when you are in Christ, what made you weak, God can make you strong. Where you were incapable, God will make you capable. Amen. So when I read this scripture, I was 17, and I was just about to start this journey into Last Chance College. And I said, wait a minute, if God can use the foolish, they've told me that I was foolish, then that means God can use me. See, when you come humbly, you say, God, I don't come in my own strength. I don't come in my own power. Lord, if you put this inside of me, I don't have the money. People say, David, how do you get to these countries? I say, how do you learn these languages? I just go to the country and I find a private teacher. And after a few weeks, I'm speaking the language. Well, how do you pay for that? I just ask God, say, Lord, open up the doors. And that's it. That's all. See, we can come to God and say, Lord, if this is of you, then you have the power to make it happen. Lord, I'm going to stand back. Father, if you can use the foolish, then you can definitely use the ADD. God, you can use the PhD. God, you can use the broke. God, you can use the affluent. You can use the hurting. You can use the strong. God, you can use whatever you want to. God, I come before you. I come weak and say, Lord, take my life. And when you come with that kind of humility, that's when you will see God take you from glory to glory. And people are going to look at you and say, you are so lucky. How do you get all these opportunities? And that's when you can say, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's an invasion of God's Holy Spirit in my life that makes the impossible possible. Amen.